talks for 15 minutes and don't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know some pastors, buddy. It'll take them 20 minutes to give a 30-second announcement, but we're going to hop right into it. Say amen right there.
Amen.
How forgiveness affects your prayer life. How forgiveness affects your prayer life. Mark chapter 11 in your Bible. Find that, Mark chapter 11. Somebody said this, stop making what somebody did to you bigger than what Jesus did for you. Stop making what somebody did to you bigger than what Jesus did for you. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Did you find that? Stand to your feet. We'll read the word here this morning. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Say, man alive, good night, that is something. Look at what he said. Whatever he says, whatever he desires, whatever he prays. Now look next. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Read 25 out loud with me, if you would, please. It's on the screen. Read it out loud together. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. One time a little girl was trying to pray the model prayer. She was trying to pray that part, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But she got all tangled up. And here's what she said. She said, Father, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. That's about the size of it, ain't it? The trash that's in our baskets and the trash that somebody else put in ours. But forgiveness affects our prayer life. Father, have a word in season. Bless every heart. Thank you for Pastor Boone and Sherry. Oh, God, use them greatly down near Bristol. And we just give you praise with anticipation because we ask in Jesus' name. Say amen and be seated.
Amen.
You can be seated. Now, let me give you just four simple points here this morning. Number one, forgiveness is a command from God. Say that out loud. Forgiveness
is a command from God.
Now, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. So forgiveness is not a strong recommendation. Forgiveness is not a suggestion. Forgiveness is not an option. It's a command from God. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now, the God who offers forgiveness to you commands forgiveness from you. And I'm telling you, if you're saved, you have the power, adequate power, to obey this command. It says in Mark chapter 11, but if you forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Have you discovered that the way you treat other people is about the way God's going to treat you?
Yeah.
Have you got that figured out yet? If you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father won't forgive. But if you forgive, he said, he will forgive. So forgiveness is essential. It says in Ephesians 4, and be ye tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, I made this observation. American Christianity is heavy on the benefits, but kind of weak on the responsibilities. Heavy on the benefits, but buddy, weak on requirements. But God's sovereignty does not nullify human responsibility. Duncan Campbell said, I believe in no conception of the sovereignty of God which nullifies man's responsibility. Simply put, God requires forgiveness from those whom he forgives. And a Christ-centered, cross-centered Christianity demands that we deal with this unpleasant subject of forgiveness. Because Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Forgiveness is a command from God. Everybody good so far?
Yes.
Number two, forgiveness is canceling a debt. Say that out loud. Forgiveness is
canceling a debt.
Back in the old days, a guy got bitten by a rabid dog. At that point, there was no cure for rabies. It was incurable. It was fatal. So the doctor came by and told the guy, he said, you better be getting your house in order. Well, the man was stunned and staggered. He sat there in total shock. Finally, he spoke up and requested a pen and some paper. And when he got it, he started writing as fast as possible. About an hour later, the doctor stopped by and said, "Well, I'm glad to see that you're writing your last will and testament." And the guy said, "This ain't no will. This is a list of the people I'm going to bite before I die." You know what forgiveness is? It's shredding the list of the people you want to bite before you die. Now, what does the word forgive mean? It means to send away, to let go, to lay aside, to leave or forsake. Do you realize that unless you release the debts you're holding against your offenders, you're going to stay focused, you're going to stay preoccupied, and you're going to stay preoccupied with your hurt and your offender. Let me tell you something. Rehearsing your hurts cultivates bitterness. Say that out loud. Rehearsing your hurts cultivates bitterness, but rehearsing your blessings cultivates gratitude. We've all been ripped off. I got news. More's coming, and it's coming like a freight train. I mean, what we're going to see in the next few years, if Jesus doesn't come back, is going to be such a breakdown and such an injustice. It's going to be unbelievable. But listen to me. Rehearsing your hurts cultivates bitterness. Rehearsing your blessings cultivates gratitude. The good news is you get to choose what you want to magnify. You got to resize your experiences. And you got to choose what you're going to make look big and choose what you're going to make look small. And you don't have to entertain every reoccurring thought about the people who have hurt you and done you wrong. Now listen to me. Sure, those thoughts are going to come back to your mind. But listen to me. You can send wrong thoughts packing. That's why the psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What does this mean? Stop meditating on your wounds. Stop meditating on your wounds. Does anybody here like to just, are prone to just dwell on things and go over things over and over and rehearsing all of the wrong? Anybody here like that this morning? I might be the only one, but I have a tendency like that. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Stop meditating on your wounds. Start thanking God for healing your heart. And don't wait for your emotions to kick in. Because if you're going to sit around waiting until you feel like forgiving and obeying God, you probably ain't never going to get around to it. You just go ahead and do it regardless of how you feel. That's good preaching right there. You got to practice intentional gratitude, and rehearsing your benefits cultivates gratitude. Sure, you got wronged. Welcome to the human race. Nobody ever got wronged like the Son of God, and he prayed to forgive these people. So I'm just here to tell you that to get something out of your mouth or out of your mind, you begin by getting it out of your mouth. I mean, you know, you don't need to put on Facebook every sorry thing that happens to you. So go ahead and say amen right there. Amen. Every pet peeve, every little thing that you don't like about. No, you ain't got to do that. Listen, stop talking about what you need to forget. Stop talking about it. Stop pondering over your wounds. That only keeps them fresh. And quit counting your bruises. Start counting your blessings. My wife and I were in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We went up to see the Cape Breton Loop and Prince Edward Island. Would you believe in June, there wasn't any smoke, but there was fog and rain just about every day. It was incredible. And we couldn't even see across the harbor where we were staying. And my wife normally is the the level-headed one, but I was doing everything I could to keep her head above water. I'm just telling you, I said, "Hey, let's count our blessings today. What do you got to be thankful for?" "Well, we thank God for our family. We thank God for all kinds of stuff." Quit counting your bruises. Start counting your blessings. Forgiveness is not forgetting, by the way. I've heard people say, "Well, if you don't forget it, then you really didn't forgive." What kind of idiot would say something like that? You can't forget all the stuff. I mean, you can't mentally erase that from your mind, wouldn't that be wonderful? But you cannot do that. Forgiveness is not forgetting, it's forsaking your right of revenge. Now, forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. You know what forgiveness is? It's shredding the trash that people has put in our baskets. Forgiveness is a command from God. Forgiveness is canceling a debt. But get this one. Forgiveness is a choice you make. Say that out loud. Forgiveness
is a choice you make.
Yeah. Jesus said, when you stand praying, Harold, forgive if you have aught against any. Again, forgiveness means to let go. It means to cancel a debt. It means to release. Forgiveness is an act of your will. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision to let go of the stuff, the hurt that we feel in our hearts. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, how did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they know not. Well, he had already forgiven them. Now he's appealing to his heavenly Father to forgive the people who had put him upon the cross. When Stephen was being stoned, how did he pray? Stoned. Brother Brian Sink came to my house and dug up some rocks. I mean, some pretty good sized rocks. And when Stephen was being stoned, rocks, how did he pray? Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Amen. Amen. He was asking God to forgive him. That's what he was doing. Spurgeon said, go to Calvary to learn how to be forgiven. Go to Calvary to learn how to be forgiven, but linger at Calvary to learn how to forgive. And I'm telling you, when the Son of God was hanging up on the cross, he was practicing forgiveness. Now, on the cross, Jesus spoke, other than to the thief, he spoke only to his heavenly Father. He had nothing to say to his enemies. He had nothing to say to the cowardly disciples. He had nothing to say to the religious leaders who had crucified him for nothing. Don't waste your time explaining yourself to unrepentant people. Don't waste your time trying to explain yourself to unrepentant people. We put up a post last week, and Facebook and our moderators blocked over 1,000 comments of people cursing and saying all kinds of things and unseemly things, vicious things. And you know what I've discovered? You're wasting your time trying to explain your position to people who are haters. You're wasting your time. And you don't need to try to waste your time explaining yourself. Jesus didn't. It only takes two people to forgive. That's you and God. Only two people are required. And I want to tell you, it takes three people to reconcile you, God, and your offender. But it only takes two people to forgive you and God. So the question comes to this sometimes. Do we need to untie or untangle? Do we need to untie or untangle? Now, sometimes you can untangle a mess, and other times you need to cut a voluntary relationship. Now, listen to me. When you cannot untie something, you might need to sever, I said, a voluntary relationship, because forgiveness is between you and God. But listen, you are not obligated to trust untrustworthy people. I said you are not obligated, biblically, to trust untrustworthy people, but we're obligated to forgive. Now, don't negotiate with twisted people. Don't do it. I got one the other day on our Facebook account, and this person said, science has proven there's more than two genders. They used to say something to people like that. One of them said the only cure for posts like yours is contraception. That's what they said. That's the only cure for posts like this. A little death wish going on here. Can you imagine? Can I just say something to you? When the CDC thinks that they're giving instructions on men to breastfeed, how many know our country is as crazy as a loon?
Amen.
You can't reason with people like this. I'm going to get you stirred up. I'm just telling you. I'm getting stirred up myself. I'm just here to tell you. You can't help people like that, but they can harm you. Your emotional and mental well-being requires you get away from toxic people. Listen, resentment is a peace taker, but forgiveness is a peacemaker. Resentment is a peace taker, say it out loud, but forgiveness is a peacemaker. It only takes two people to forgive. That's you and God. Now, go to Calvary. Go to Calvary to learn how to be forgiven. Linger at Calvary to learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice, all right? Now, look, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance, but you got to make the choice to repent. Ain't nobody going to repent for you, and ain't nobody going to forgive for you. That's a choice. That's your responsibility, that by the grace of God, you can do it. Now, when God convicts you, you alone are responsible to cancel the debt. Now, forgiveness is not playing like or pretending like you weren't hurt. I've heard people say, it really wasn't all that bad. Yeah, it was worse. But it's not pretending you weren't hurt. It's not ignoring the pain in your heart. Forgiveness is not trying to understand why your offender did what they did. And forgiveness is not opening up yourself to more abuse. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. It's a choice. I have a friend. He had a brother. I grew up down in Charlotte County with him, and he had a brother who lived in Richmond. And one night in Richmond, Virginia, a teenage boy came into my friend's brother's home and murdered my friend's brother, shot the sister-in-law, shot that my friend's nephew, a triple homicide. The investigators came in and found the murder weapon and found out the murderer. It was a teenage boy who had spent the night in the home. It was a teenage boy who had been on vacation with his family. So here's a triple homicide. They found the murder weapon. They had three, it was three bullets in it. So they took these three bullets and gave them to Gary, my friend. And Gary took them home. Now, can you imagine a triple homicide? He took him home, put the bullets in his safe, and said, if this kid ever gets out of prison, I got three presents for him. One bullet for my brother, one for my sister-in-law, and one for my nephew. We were in a meeting at his church, and it was on forgiveness, and he came forward, and he was weeping and sobbing, and he said, Harold, I'm praying about forgiving the kid that murdered my brother and his family. And Gary's a good friend of mine. I looked at him. I said, Gary, you don't need to pray about forgiving him. You just need to do it. You don't need to pray about obeying God. Well, I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. He came to a board meeting, handed me an envelope. Some rattling going on inside. I ripped the end off, poured out. Guess what it was? Three bullets. He said, I won't be needing these anymore. Perhaps you can find a more productive use for them. I put them on my desk, little trophies of forgiveness in the grace of God. Now, my brother, my sister tonight, if he can forgive something like that, I'm just telling you, God can help us to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice to let go of the hurts. It stop wishing ill on your offenders. And don't ever pray like this. Now, Lord, help me to forgive. No, because forgiveness is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a commandment. And it's a choice to let go of the debt. I was in Carolina. Man, the things that happened. An older man, some 50 years old, was in the place. When he was 16 years old, his mother told him to get out of the house and never come back. Out of some place in Georgia. He left the home. During this meeting, he drove 7 hours, found his aging mother, was able to reconcile as much as possible, and was able to forgive his mother for what she did. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. Forgiveness is a choice to let go, to release, to cancel a debt. But notice finally, forgiveness is a condition for prayer. Say that out loud. Forgiveness Now, this whole text is about praying, right? And he said, when you stand praying, in other words, when you get ready to approach God, when you get ready to communicate with heaven, when you get ready to speak to God, forgive. Now, look, our fellowship with God depends on our forgiveness of our fellow man. Cross points two ways, points toward heaven and horizontal toward our fellow man. And your fellowship with God depends upon your forgiveness of your fellow man. I think it was Charles Stanley that said this, the acid of bitterness will not harm the object it's directed at. The object of bitterness will not harm the object it's directed at, but it will destroy the container that it's stored in. You know, it might cost you a lot to forgive, but buddy, I'll tell you, it'll cost you a lot more if you don't. I'll just tell you one little story here. I have released this debt in case it don't sound like it. And you ain't supposed to rehearse it, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. I bought a certain box trailer from a certain situation. And just suffice it to say, paid them $2,000, and they didn't fix nothing. And I appealed for reimbursement. Guess how I made out on that point right there? And you know something? It might cost you a lot to forgive, but it's going to cost you a whole lot more if you carry all that around. I'm just telling you, life's too short for secret resentments. And Jesus forged prayer and forgiveness into a knot that can't be broken. It's a forgiveness. It's a condition for prayer. Now look, if you want to be on speaking terms with God, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive if you have audienced any, that your Father may also forgive you your trespass. I didn't say this is nice, easy, pleasant. It's not, but it's necessary. Because prayer never rises from a bitter heart. D.L. Moody said that unforgiveness and bitterness was doing more to hold back the power of God and revival in his day than any other sin. I don't think a whole lot's changed. I have a friend of mine. He was like a father to me, a grandfather to our children. And he grew up in the home of a drunkard, a womanizer, beating his wife, all this kind of stuff. A Baptist deacon. How many know that there's some unsaved Baptist deacons and Baptist pastors? Just go ahead and say amen on that point right there. Yeah. Well, he grew up in this abusive home. And he would often talk about all that his father did, especially to his mom. And you know what he told me one day? He said, Harold, I can't go to prayer meeting. There's no use for me to go to prayer meeting because I got unforgiveness in my heart. Well, I appealed to him as a father. I said, man, you don't want to go to heaven with all this. You don't want to carry this all around. Sure, what happened was awful and ungodly, but it's a condition for praying. And if you're going to talk to God, you got to deal with this situation. Don't let bitterness turn you into the person who hurt you. Don't let bitterness turn you into the person who hurt you. Harboring hurts makes you like the person who wronged you. How many of you know your focus determines your disposition? Your focus determines your disposition. So if you're focused on everything that's gone south, you're going to be mad. I went in to see a guy the other day, and I just listened to some of those Tucker Carlson things on Facebook, which was a big mistake because I got all stirred up. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying here this morning? I'm just trying to be honest with you here this morning. We need to be aware. I guess we need to be aware of what's going on. We ought to be aware of what we ought to be doing. But anyhow, forgiveness does not excuse wrong behavior, but forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying you. When you stand praying, he said, forgive. It's a condition for prayer. Isn't that the model of prayer? Amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is exactly what it says. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You know what forgiveness is? It's taking the grace that God has extended to you and extending it to your offenders. Amen. Forgiveness is taking the forgiveness that God has shown you and passing it on to your offenders. Now, here's the bottom line. When you are saved, you have the capacity to forgive. I didn't say it's easy. I didn't say it's pleasant. But I am saying it's right. And I am saying that God requires it. And the way we treat other people determines how God's going to treat us. It's a condition for prayer. When you stand praying, forgive. Spurgeon said the goal of prayer is the ear of God. The goal of prayer is the ear of God. And if you want to get the ear of God, you got to deal with the trash that people have put in your baskets. It's a condition for prayer. Now listen up. You got to open up your heart to deal with any unforgiveness. And you know the Bible talks about the root of bitterness. That means it's underground, out of sight. Not on the surface. It's on down under there somewhere. Brother Brian, he dug a trench like that. You know what forgiveness is? Bitterness is? It's a root. It ain't laying on top of the ground. It's on down here somewhere. It's underneath. And you know what? The thing that ticks us off all the time, that comes in our mind all the time, the stuff we rehearse all the time, that's a good place to start with forgiveness right there. I'll tell you a story. I'm sure I'll tell you the story. I used to live in Montvale, Virginia. Hallelujah, I got out. And too many tanks over there and moved on over somewhere else. But you know what? I was pondering these words on forgiveness and got really uncomfortable. And if you'd asked me if I was bitter, I would have said, well, no, I'm not bitter, man. I'm just righteously indignant or something. No, but the truth of the matter was I was as bitter as all get out and didn't even know it. So I went out in the backyard, had a little hickory tree back there, and I like to walk and pace and pray, and I was back there. I said, okay, God. And these things that had happened were bothering me, right? So I prayed a new way. I said, now, Lord, I'm choosing to forgive this man that embarrassed me when I was a child in front of all these people. I said, God, I've been upset. I've been angry. I've been mad about it. But God, I'm forgiving him. I'll never hold it against him again. I said, now, Lord, here's a group of people that made me promises, and they didn't do anything. I said, God, I've been upset about it because they lied to me. But, Lord, I'm releasing that debt. It's out of my hands. Whatever you want to do is up to you. I forgive them. And I said, now, Lord, here's a friend of mine who I told something in private, right? And he broke the confidence. How many know I got upset about that right there? I got upset about it. I said, Lord, I want to forgive this man that broke this confidence. And I said, Lord, I'm going to hold it against him no more. I said, Lord, I release the debt. Lord, I forgive him. Would you believe it took me 45 minutes to deal with the trash that was in my basket? And that's the way I prayed to every one of them. I didn't say, help me to forgive. I said, Lord, I'm choosing to forgive. I'm letting go of this. And 45 minutes later, after I had flushed my heart out, praise God, I could sing again. I had a little joy again. Amen. I wasn't upset again. It'd been a long time. And I'm just telling you, the freedom they poured into my heart. And you know what happens when you forgive? You get out of the prison of offense. You don't want to live your whole life in the prison of offense, just wallowing in what somebody, deal with the thing God's way. I'm just telling you, because when you're in prison, you're bound up. You're just all tight, man. Can't worship, can't witness, agitated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Bothered, you're all kinds of noise. But listen to this, forgiveness from God and forgiveness to God are essential for meaningful prayer. Forgiveness from God, vertical forgiveness, horizontal forgiveness toward others, essential for a meaningful prayer life. So stop making what somebody did to you bigger than what Jesus has done for you. You're not denying it. You're not pretending it didn't happen. You're not trying to understand what their motive. It don't make no difference. It's done happened, and what's done is done. But I tell you what you're going to do is up to you and up to me. And God wants us to be freed up, because Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father may also forgive your trespasses. Amen. How many think this is true, what I said here this morning? Is this true? How many think this is really hard? How many know that it's really necessary? Amen. And I'm not belittling. Oh, man, the stuff that happens. I'm belittling none of that. I ain't saying it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but I'm telling you what Jesus did is a bigger deal. Amen. To set our hearts right. It's down in Georgia back in April. Spoke at a men's advance and got invited to a church in Covington, Georgia, hour and a half away. And pastor says, Harold, we got 50 people praying every week. He said, God's hovering over our church. You know how often a pastor tells me that? Never. Never. Harold, God's hovering over our church. I'm going to break in any moment. Wow. Wow. So I'm driving down, thinking about that. And I'm driving down praying. And you know what I got the sense is? God's going to break through in this meeting tonight. A 5 o'clock meeting. Who ever heard of a 5 o'clock meeting? I mean, y'all are old-fashioned, man. 6:30. Well, Boone needs to get some black hair thinking back, amen? Not gray hair. But anyhow, I'm just only kidding on that point right there. But anyway, they had a meeting at 5 o'clock. And on the way down, I was praying. It seemed to me, God said, this is it. Great. So I walked in there singing through the roof. And we dealt on getting clean and getting clear. Talked about getting hungry, getting humble, getting honest. People responded. First guy to the microphone was a 79-year-old head deacon. You know what he said? Grew up in the home of a drunk, an abuser. It was awful. 79-year-old man. He said, I despised my father. I hated my father. But he said, now I've forgiven my father. Well, the second guy got up was like 30-some-year-old guy. When he was a teenager, he went to this same church. His mother came to him as a teenager. You know what she said to him? She said, I love you and I love the family, but I love the preacher more than I love y'all. And I'm leaving. Can you imagine a mother saying something like that to us? Can you even conceive of it? But you know, this man whose mom bailed out on him and the family was the second man to the microphone, and he said, I've forgiven my mother for abandonment and before betrayal. Good night. Well, that you should have heard what came after that. 2 hours and 45 minutes later, we finally got out, and the pastor says, hey, we can't stop this. How many think we all come back? So we came back the next couple of nights. Same thing happened in every service. But you know the dominant feature in that move of God was forgiveness. Forgiveness. The horrible things that have happened to people. Unspeakable. But you know what? As we forgive and get our hearts right with God and release these debts, it puts us on a new plane and on praying ground. And that's where God wants us to live. Amen. Forgiveness affects your prayer life. Let's stand and talk to God. Would you stand up? Lord, I don't even know what to say right here. Other than I pray you'd help some people, Lord, who's got some forgiveness issues. Lord, we either have them or we've had them. And we're going to have more. I wonder how many here would say, Brother Harold, you know, man, I need to forgive. I need to forgive somebody. It's a command. It's canceling a debt. It's a choice. And I understand if I'm going to pray, I got to practice forgiveness. How many here would say, Brother Harold, I got something I'm dealing with in my heart. And I just want you to remember me because I need to forgive somebody. Would you put your hand up this morning if God spoke to you in the house? Yeah. God bless. God bless. Now, this morning, would you just deal with whatever you need to deal with before the Lord? We're going to pray together right now, Father. Now, Lord, there's some hurting people here. They've been wronged. And, Lord, they want to be clear and clean. They want to be right. Lord, they want to have a forgiving heart. And, Lord, I just pray right now that they would make that choice to release those debts, to let go, to cancel out the offense. Leave the retaliation and vengeance up to you. I pray right now, Father, that we your people, Lord, would get set free by choosing to forgive. Now, I want you to do that right here before we leave this building this morning. Right where you're seated is fine. Or if you want to come and kneel, that's fine too. But before we go out of this house, it's a choice that you got to make. And God, if he's forgiven you, will give you the capacity to forgive others. Would you just deal with the Lord? Y'all have a little song back there or something playing. We're not going to sing anything, but just play something soft. Now let's just deal with this before the Lord. Look, I know it ain't easy. I know these waters run deep, but God can help you. Would you let go of it this morning? Just put it away. Forgive. Not an emotion, a decision. Not a feeling, a choice. Not forgetting, but choosing to let go of the thing. If you're freed up this morning in this area, thank God. Pray for others. A bunch of us here this morning need to deal with something. And would you just pray for others? God, help them. God, help them to do right. Even though they're the ones that's been wrong, God, help them to let go and release. Pray it out. Just spill it all out. We're dealing with the trash that others have put in our baskets. Now, Lord, thank you for such clear and unmistakable instruction on forgiveness. You said when we stand praying to forgive, that the Father might forgive. Oh God, thank you for forgiving us and giving us the ability to forgive. I pray hearts would be freed up as a result of this service here this morning. Give you praise and gratitude and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. How many here this morning let go of some debt and forgave somebody as a result of being here this morning? Put your hand up way high. All right, let me give you several things. You say, well, how am I supposed to stay free? Don't rehearse it. Quit talking about it and quit thinking about it. Don't rehearse it. Number two, don't nurse it. Well, that outfit really did rip me off. No, don't nurse it. No. It's out of your hands now. Number three, don't curse it. Don't call down fire on these people. It's out of your hands. All this is coming out either in this life or at the judgment seat of Christ. It's all going to come out, all right? It's all going to come out. And I know it's awful. I know all that. But look, don't curse it. Don't call down fire on them like the disciple. Don't do that. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. You say, what am I supposed to do? Well, whenever it comes back to mind, pray for them. You say, how are you supposed to pray for people like this? Ask God to save them.
Amen.
Ask God to have mercy on them.
Amen.
Ask God to bless their family. And when you practice that kind of prayer, like old Job praying for the people that told him he was the problem, his accusers, and God released him from his bondage when he prayed for his... Oh, man, what kind of friends are these? But anyway, that's what happened. And when it comes back to your mind, God have mercy on them. God save them. God, please have mercy on them. God, please draw them to yourself, Lord. That kind of prayer, I'll tell you what, those negative things can flee away. Now, how many know that $2,000 ain't going to mount to a whole lot in about 5 years? It don't mount to a whole lot right now. How many know that? How many know that $50,000 in 25 years in my case ain't going to make no difference? How many understand what I just said right there? And how many know that ain't none of it going to make any difference at the judgment seat in eternity? So don't sweat the small stuff. Deal with it. I know it ain't easy, but God can help. Did anybody get freed up this morning?
Amen.
Anybody get a little help? All right, well, come on back tonight. Brother Paul, come on up here, buddy. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Okay. Well, make sure to come back tonight. Brother Harold's coming back 6:30. And I can't think of a place I'd rather be. Steph.
Don't forget the meeting with the veterans right after church.
Thank you. And I had already forgot the meeting. The meeting with the veterans, with Stanley and Brother Leonard immediately.